And more of a baseball nut, but big baseball fan, and so our trips would go places where there was major league ball. And when I was young, I remember we used to go to Montreal quite often, and Montreal Expos. That was way back when. Anyway, I don't know how long ago that was, but. But I can't remember a whole lot of those trips, but some things I do recall. I remember some cool campgrounds that we would end up in, and of course I remember being at lots of ball games. But the thing that really sticks in my mind and in my memory about those trips to Montreal, at least, are going through that very long tunnel, that long tunnel into Montreal, and I looked up some facts about that tunnel, and I think it's still there. When we came through there, when John and I, a couple of years ago, when we came back through there, we bypassed it. So I was kind of looking forward to the tunnel, and then it didn't happen. We bypassed it somehow, so anyway, I kind of missed that. But anyway, the tunnel that goes under the St. Lawrence River there, it's called the LaFontaine Tunnel, and it's 1.5 kilometers long. That's pretty long. And it's part of the Trans-Canada Highway. And what I found online, anyway, it said 120,000 vehicles use it every day. That sounds like a lot. But since then, being a kid, all the other tunnels that I remember have been on trains and actually out in BC and going through the mountains, and all of a sudden you're in a tunnel and you realize, man, this is a mountain I'm going through. And that's kind of cool. But any time that I think of that tunnel in Montreal, especially, and then even the tunnels that I've been in since, I remember thinking that this is really strange, you know, being in a tunnel. And at the same time, I remember thinking it's kind of fun. And some really weird feelings, and I'm kind of a type of guy that worries a lot and kind of anxious a lot, so I'd have some really interesting feelings as I went through these tunnels. But I want you to picture with me going through a tunnel. So picture with me, if you've been in a tunnel or going through a tunnel, what are some things that matter that you might think about, or maybe some things that you don't want to think about but pop in your mind? Like, here's some things that pop into my mind. I always think, these tunnel walls, they have to hold, right? Because I'm thinking of the stuff on the outside of that tunnel too, water or a mountain or whatever it is. But it's got to hold, and it's got to hold those things out, those big things out. And then I remember driving through those tunnels and thinking, okay, no cars can hit the walls of this tunnel. Like, this, everybody, you know, keep going straight. And I remember thinking stuff like that. But really, most of the time, we don't think about that stuff. Really, we just ride into the tunnel, believing the tunnel will hold. And it will hold up until we get to the other side of the tunnel. And it's always kind of a relief, at least for me anyway, when we get through the tunnel. But I think a tunnel, and thinking of those thoughts and just the way that it feels, and some of the things about a tunnel, I think that's a wonderful picture of faith. And you guessed it, our passage today can teach us about faith. We're going to look at a passage in just a moment, and not faith in tunnels, but faith in a person and God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me read to you a passage this morning from John chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me from John chapter 4. And I see I grabbed my New Living Translation this morning, so that's what I'll read from. John chapter 4. Verses 43 through 54. Okay. Here we go. John chapter 4, verses 43-54. It says this: at the end of the 2 days, Jesus went on to Galilee. He himself had said that a prophet is not honored in his own hometown. Yet the Galileans welcomed him, for they had been in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration and had seen everything he did there. So as he traveled through Galilee, he came to Cana, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a government official in nearby Capernaum whose son was very sick. And when he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son, who was about to die. And Jesus asked, "Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders?" So the official pleaded, "Lord, please come now before my little boy dies." Then Jesus told him, "Go back home, your son will live." And the man believed what Jesus said and started home. While the man was on his way home, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. He asked them when the boy had begun to get better, and they replied, "Yesterday afternoon, at 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared." Then the father realized that that was the very time Jesus told him, "Your son will live." And he said, and he and his entire household believed in Jesus. This was the second miraculous sign Jesus did in Galilee after coming from Judea. So I love that passage. I love what's going on there. And there's a lot happening there. And there's a lot of things we could talk about. But the guy that we read about there, that official, the guy did what he was told. He did what he was told. The last part of verse 50 says, and the man believed that Jesus, or what Jesus said, and he started home. That guy, I don't know his name, we're not given his name, but that guy, he began his walk of faith. He just listened to what Jesus said, and he believed it, and he started heading for home. And I can't help but wonder what was on his mind as he walked home. And because of verses 51 and 52 in that passage, I think he was on the road for quite a while. So I was trying to do some math, and I think, and some other, I've checked this out too on the maps and looked at the distance between where that long walk that he would have went on, and he was probably on the road about 10 hours maybe a couple days walk, whatever. I don't, it'd take me maybe even longer with my hip, but and we don't know what the roads were like, we don't know what the weather was like, but he was on a journey there, and so he had some time to walk and think. I wonder what was on his mind. And I think he was walking. We're not told exactly. Maybe he was riding something like a donkey, or who knows. But he was probably walking. But he had a lot of time to think about what was going on at home. And I can picture that guy walking and walking. And maybe even some of that walk was in the dark. And I don't know. But I'm not a fan of walking in the dark. But the whole time he was on the road, he must have been thinking about his sick little boy back home. And I would think he would be wishing that he was already home so that he could be with his little boy. And the time, it must have really dragged by as he walked. Because I know if I really want to be somewhere and I'm traveling, it seems like it takes forever. So I think he was probably he probably felt that way. I'm just guessing, but I have a good imagination, so I like to picture all that stuff. But I like to think about what kept him going even as he walked along. What gave him a light at the end of the tunnel? He was walking by faith. And remember, his faith that he was walking by was faith in Jesus and what Jesus told him. And his faith carried him home. And his faith in Jesus is what did that. And we know the end of the story. We read it there. There was a happy ending. News from some of his servants met him partway back. So they must have headed out, you know, as soon as his son was better, and they couldn't wait. So they headed out to meet him. And he finds out his son had been healed the very minute that Jesus had spoke. That's awesome. The only person that he could put his faith in had come through. I love that. And we all have a story. We all have a story. And all of us have problems. And some of us have family members who are in desperate situations. Maybe we are experiencing financial problems or have family members that are in financial problems. And maybe some may have health problems. Some may be going astray in different areas of their lives. Maybe it's you facing some of these problems. Life, it isn't easy. And faith doesn't guarantee that life will be an easy go either. So having faith, it doesn't guarantee that things are going to be easy. But there's going to be times in our lives when the dark feels like it's closing in on us. And we can't know what's around the corner. And there's going to be things that weigh down on our hearts. And when life drags on and stuff just seems to be going against us, what keeps us going? What is going to give us that light at the end of the tunnel? Knowing we're walking in faith, not ourselves or anybody else, but faith in Jesus Christ. That's important. And you've heard this before, but this is something that I need to hear. So I'm telling this to myself too. It's good that I'm hearing it out loud. And I think just like this, Travis, what is going to give you that light at the end of the tunnel? Knowing you're walking in faith, not yourself or anybody else, but faith in Jesus Christ. That's what will help. Okay, I feel better. But when times get tough, how do we get on that walk of faith? From this passage, I see that the walk of faith calls for us to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Just from the book of John, not necessarily just for that passage, but from the book of John, Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And you can read that verse. That's from John 14, verse 6. Don't turn there right now. You can look at it later. But another time in the book of John, Jesus said that he is the Son of God. I jotted down a couple of passages there. John 1, verse 14, and verse 18. He said that he was the Son of God. And Jesus also in the book of John says that he's the good shepherd. It's one of my favorite passages. It's from John chapter 10, verse 11 and 14. And then in the book of John, Jesus actually claims to be God. He says he's God. John 3:16 even says there. Well, that's his son, but John 8, verse 58, Jesus claims to be God. Walking in faith calls us to believe Jesus is who he says he is. When we go through life and whatever that looks like, good times and bad times, we need to keep remembering who our Lord is. We need to keep believing Jesus is who he says he is. And when we can't see the way, remember that Jesus is the way. When the world is full of lies, and man, is it ever full of lies, remember that Jesus is the truth. Maybe you're really sick, and the doctor has that look on his face with news for you. Remember that Jesus is the life. There's nothing that we'll face in life that will change who our Lord and Savior is. The walk of faith, it calls for us to believe Jesus will do what he says he will do. Jesus has made promises. We can read about them in Scripture. Jesus, here's some of them. Jesus said, all who trust in him will have eternal life. That's a promise. Jesus said, all who come to him will never, he will never cast out. That's a great promise. Another promise of Jesus is this. Jesus said, his truth will set us free. Yeah. Another promise Jesus said he will give freely to those who ask, seek, and knock. Another promise that Jesus said, for all the tired and weary to come to him, and he will give them rest. That sounds good. Walking in faith, it calls for us to believe Jesus will do what he says he will do. We can face anything in life by faith in Jesus. Even when we are facing death, which will happen, Jesus says, believe in me and live. Oh, man. We may not know where to turn, but Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. Listen. We have someone above all the powers of the world waiting to hear from us. That's amazing. This world and this life may beat us up and pull us down, but we can always turn to Jesus and he will give us rest. And Jesus never breaks a promise. He will always keep his word. He will always do what he says he will do. And we can make it through life because he will bring us through. And we'll win. The walk of faith, it requires us taking the first step. The walk of faith means putting that first foot out in thin air and trust in the Lord. For Christians, this means taking a step towards him and see him carry us through. For non-Christians, this means taking a leap into his arms of the one who gave himself for you. A big leap. Let's pray. God, you are marvelous. God, help us to believe your word. Help us to walk in faith. Help us to want what you want and to love what you love. And even to hate what you hate. God, thank you that you are God. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.